Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Salini-Impregilo Full Year 2017 Financial Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabrizio Rossini, Head of Investor Relations of Salini-Impregilo. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Sherry. Good afternoon and good morning, everyone, and welcome to Salini-Impregilo 2017 Earnings Conference Call. Our call today is hosted by Pietro Salini, Chief Executive Officer. Joining him for the presentation are also Massimo Ferrari, CFO and General Manager, and Alessandro De Rosa, Deputy General Manager. A recording file of today's presentation will be available shortly after the call and can be accessed through the IR section of our website. I would now like to turn over the call to Pietro Salini, CEO. Thank you.
Good evening and good morning to everyone. Thank you for taking the time to participate in this conference call of our full year 2017 results. I would like to start with the key messages for 2017. Let me clarify straight away that the underlying performance of our business last year has been a very good one. Backing off the Forex effect and the Venezuelan assets write-off, on which Massimo will provide details later on, we actually scored a very good year in terms of margin performance, top-line growth, almost reaching what we had initially targeted, and with an excellent net income performance. Our financial structure is very solid. We managed to reduce the gross debt level. We are moving in the right direction. Last year, we managed to refinance over 95% of our corporate debt, managing to significantly extend maturities and lowering its average cost. We also received a pleasant upgrade to BB+ from Fitch rating agency, which now joined the other two agencies with the same level of rating. For our U.S. operations, performed brilliantly from a growth perspective, both in terms of order intake. We grew an outstanding 63% versus last year, with revenues in dollars growing 16% year over year. U.S. is more and more a strategic asset for the group, and we are investing there significantly in order to be in the best position to exploit its growing opportunities into the infrastructure sector. But before we move on comment our results and future perspectives, I would like to spend some time discussing some feedback I get from the investors' relation team. Since the announcement of the Astaldi refinancing announcement and Venezuela write-down in 2017, Salini's share price has dropped by approximately 40%, from 3.70 to 2.25 per share today. This loss in market value equates to around $710 million, which is not only is more than our total exposure to Venezuela, but it also assumes a very dire scenario. At the current share price, our shares are trading at less than 3 times enterprise value EBITDA, below 10 times price earnings, which we find not reflecting correctly the underlying strength of our balance sheet, the growth and the margin improvement. We have a very well capitalized balance sheet with equity reserves in excess of $1.1 billion, an ample undrawn committed financing line at our disposal. Our net debt to EBITDA is 1.1 on the reported statutory net figures of $700 million, but approximately 0.7 times on a normalized and constant currency basis. We do not need to raise any equity. We have been getting calls from investors asking if we are going to raise equity. The simple answer is no, thank you. We will not make acquisition other than the potential bolt-on deals in the U.S. to boost our footprint or to supplement our capacity in large complex projects in the U.S. Also, we will not be merging with or participating in any bailout capital raising for another player. In order to reduce foreign currency volatility, we will be reporting in 2018 also in U.S. dollars. The sharp move into the U.S. dollars caught us by surprise and had a negative figurative impact on both the PLL and the net debt. We are actively looking at to optimize our assets and liabilities exposure to increase the natural edge. As Massimo will explain, the vast majority of the cash we hold as prepayment was in US dollar, but will also be spent into the future in the same currency, having at the end no real impact on the P&L. We will focus on being selective on order intake to ensure that we get the proper risk profile for the group, but above all, the margin targets that we aim. On geographic basis, our key focus will be target contracts in developed markets and selective segments. For example, dams, hydro, rails in emerging markets. The U.S. is and remains a key growth market for us. We will continue to sell non-core assets to bring down our gross debt. We are targeting assets in order around 100 million in 2018. We will look at returning cash to shareholders through a combination of dividends and share repurchase, and we will see the current share price level as a very attractive level. We have written off 50% of our exposure in Venezuela, and this has no impact on the strength of our balance sheet, no impact on our business plan, and definitely no impact on our cash flow. The business plan targets, which I will discuss later on this presentation, have been revised downwards to predominantly reflect the sharp move in FX, not only in the US dollars, but also in the Ethiopian birr and other currencies which we are exposed to in our business plan. The revised business plan targets are based on a US dollar to euro exchange of rate of 1.25, and we believe we are being reasonably prudent in this estimate. We understand that the IFRS 15 impact was a concern for the market, and many were expecting a significant negative impact to our financials. We want to reconfirm that our initial assessment is for a relatively immaterial move of 150 million, around 10% of our opening 2018 balance sheet. I would like to point out that some of our European peers, and I'm talking Northern Europe, have reported a write-down of closer to 50% on their opening balance sheet. So I'm pleased here that our already prudent accounting policies have mitigated any negative surprise here. Last but definitely not least, we fail to understand why the market is totally ignoring the strong value of Lane. The company increased its order intake by 14% in euro terms, but 16% in US dollar terms, and hit a record order intake of 3 billion. The business is very well positioned for growth, and we expect Lane to become well over 30% of the group revenue by 2019. When we bought Lane in 2015, we paid 450 million around in euro, valuing the business at 33 times the 2015 revenue of 1.5 billion. In 2018, we expect Lane to generate revenue of close to $2 billion, and applying the same multiples, we believe that Lane is worth in excess of 700 million. As you can imagine, we are working very hard to deliver strong growth, but also a strong quality of earnings. We are actively seeking to address the key concerns that both the sell side and investors are flagging us and the list above. If we have missed anything, please let us know. Let's move on and let me pass the floor to Massimo, who will provide to you all the details on our business performance before I come back to comment on the market and our strategy and outlook.
Thank you, Pietro, and good afternoon, everybody. We closed another year of strong results despite the strong forex changes in the later half of the financial year, which shows the underlying strengths of the business and commitment from management to work towards improving the business mix and profitability. As you will appreciate from our press release and presentation, for your benefit, we have provided a detailed breakdown of the financial figures to adjust for the write-down of about 50% of our Venezuelan exposure and also forex changes impacting our P&L. As we know, some sell-side analysts had not incorporated these developments into their previews ahead of results. Please bear with me today, as there is quite a lot of detail I would like to share with you to make sure there is a good understanding on our figures we reported today. Let us take a look at the key financial for the full 2017 year. Moving on to slide 8, at a high level, I would like to start off by going through the key messages on 2017 financial figures. For the full year, we reported a respectable growth rate of 5.8%. We reported a very strong adjusted net income versus the prior year to 211 million, which is driven by the improvement in margins, lower financial cost, but also a positive development in the terms of the write-up of our investment in Autopista del Sol in Argentina for 85 million. I would to highlight that notwithstanding the write-off of the asset in Venezuela, our balance sheet continues to be strong and our net equity position exceeds 1.1 billion euro. Furthermore, I would also reiterate that we had no expected revenue generation on this project for the duration of the 2019 business plan, and therefore there is no risk to these targets due to the remaining exposure. Finally, covenants were fully respected, notwithstanding exogenous impacts. During the 2017, we also completed a very successful refinancing program in which we refinanced 1.1 billion of corporate debt at a significantly lower cost, in particular the refinancing of the 2013 Impregilo bonds with a new issue at 1.75. In anticipation of these results, there were many market participants who were focused on the impact of IFRS 15. We will go through this in further detail in the subsequent slides, but the initial indication is that the impact on our opening 2018 balance sheet will be approximately 133 million, which highlights that prior to the adoption of the new accounting principle, we were already adopting fairly prudent accounting standard. Moving on to slide 9, for the full 2017 year, we reported a growth rate of 5.8 versus 2017 full year figures. As Pietro commented in his opening remarks, we suffered a forex headwind of around 135 million at the revenue level, mainly due to our significant exposure to US dollar and the devaluation of the Ethiopian birr in October 2017. During the second half of the year, our main projects were running according to schedule, apart from our two key projects in Italy. The pace of execution of the Milano-Genova contract in Italy reduced versus the first half of the year, mainly due to late approval of the financing by CIPE, the Italian administration authority, which came only at the very end of the last year. We expect the contract to pick up pace in 2018. Furthermore, about the start of the high-speed train on the northeast of Italy, IRICAV contract, while it was delayed versus our initial expectations, the good news is that on December 22, the board of CIPE approved the payment schedule, which will allow the contract to start in 2018. We are prudently assuming that it will start in the second half of the 2018. EBITDA and EBIT grew respectively by 8.3% and 10.6%. Margins were better than prior year, with EBITDA margin at 9.6% versus 9.4% and EBIT margin at 5.4% versus 5.1% of the prior year. Net income amounted to 211 million, increasing by 200% in respect of the homogeneous figures of the prior years. We will go more in details on these figures on the next slides. Moving on to slide 10, given the sharp move in foreign exchange in the later part of the year, in particular the US dollar-euro exchange rate, we thought it would be helpful to provide additional details around our currency exposure. As a reminder, the 2016-19 business plan was based on a euro-dollar forex rate of 1.11. As shown on the slide, in 2017, 53% of the total revenue was generated in US dollars through a combination of our fast-growing US business lane industries, but also many of our active contracts in the Middle East, which are denominated in US dollars. Salini Pregila, as you know, is building two landmark operations in Ethiopia, the GERD and the Koisha Dam. During the year, the Ethiopian birr tracked according to the US dollar. However, in October 2017, the Ethiopian government devalued the currency, which had a negative effect on the translation of the revenue generated on this project. Over the year, the average euro, dollar, and birr increased by 12%. As shown on the slide, more than 70% of group's revenues are denominated in currencies other than euro, with most of the debt denominated in euro and a large portion of held cash is in US dollar and US-related currency. In absolute terms, the above forex movements negatively impacted the revenue on a translation basis by 135 million and below EBIT line by 123 million. As I had mentioned on the first half results call, the key moves on the financial expenses line mainly relates to the move in the Ethiopian birr and the translation of the US dollar denominated assets. Moving to the impact on the balance sheet, one other comment worth noting is that whilst the forex translation in the P&L is based on an average over the year on the balance sheet, we must take the year-end spot rate, which was significantly higher than the spot forex last year, with an overall impact on the net financial position of some 190 million, mainly as an effect of the translation in euro of cash held in currencies different from euro. Due to the above, we will publish next financial reporting also in US dollar, as Pietro mentioned before. This change should reduce the risk of forex volatility on our reported financials going forward. We will keep you updated on this development, probably in the second half of the year once the exercise will be completed. Whilst it is important to understand the foreign exchange dynamics on our business, I would like to stress that on a constant currency basis, the underlying growth and margin outlook are both strong. Moving on to slide 11, we wanted to show the margin evolution of the business since we had announced the business plan in 2019. As you may recall, our target was to generate an EBITDA margin in excess of 10% by 2019. As showed on the slide, I want to highlight our strong margin evolution since 2015. The EBITDA margin increased steadily by 110 basis points from 8.5 to 9.6 in 2017, and the EBIT margin increased by 40 basis points over the same period from 4.6 to 5.4. The strong growth was driven by three factors which were discussed in the presentation of the business plan. First, project mix. Secondly, our focus on better risk managing. Third, we have introduced a cost savings plan across the group, which is positively supporting margins. The key areas of improvement are G&A, HR, but more importantly, increasing centralization of costs, in particularly procurement and CapEx. Furthermore, the synergies on the Lane transaction are also bearing fruit. One key point to note here is that despite the very strong growth from Lane, which is inherently a lower margin business due to its exposure to paving and small project segment, we have successfully increased the margin due to the factors mentioned above, which I think is very commendable performance. The above points were all outlined in our 2016-19 business plan, and the whole team at Salini in Pregillo are focused on reaching these targets. On slide 12, as discussed earlier, on a constant currency basis, 2017 EBIT grew by 11%. One area of the profit and loss account which we have been working are the factors below the EBIT, which have a significant impact on our reported net income. I am pleased to report that our efforts have resulted in a significant improvement in our net income on a constant currency basis, a net income of around 211 million versus 70 million in 2016. Firstly, the net financing costs reduced by 32 million or 32% on a year-on-year basis from 102 million to 70 million, driven by 20 million increase in financial income and the lower cost of debt due to the refinancing operation completed in full year in 2017, which allowed to reduce the amount of bank financing in favor of bond debt. Secondly, in prior years, we took an impairment of 63 million on our exposure to a concession investment in a motorway concession business in Argentina called Ausol. Following the successful renegotiation of the contract for the concession, we have taken the opportunity to write up the value of our 19.82% stake in this company by 83 million to our equity. We gave a mandate in order to sell the stake in 2018 to prior banks in Argentina. Thirdly, we will notice that our tax rate, whilst our tax charge increased due to the improving underlying figures, our tax rate reduced from 38.4% to 36.7%. Moving on to slide 13, we have touched on the key items of the year-on-year net income bridge, but though it was helpful to show that the partial write-down of our exposure in Venezuela and the adverse currency impact had a significant hit on our net income for the financial year in 2017. It's worth reminding everyone that the Venezuela impact is both one-off and non-cash. Underlying net income growth continues to improve on a year-on-year basis. In full year 2017, it amounted to 3 times prior year figures. As you can see on slide 14, we continue to make good progress on the financial structure. The average corporate cost of debt has had progressively reduced from 3.8 in 2015 down to 3.2% in 2017. And we expect the borrowing cost to reduce further over the plan period as we see the full benefit of the recent 1.1 billion refinancing in October 2017. As part of the refinancing program, we were able to extend the average duration of our financing from 3.2 years to 3.7 years. Over the last years, we have actively been increasing the fixed rate of our debt mix from 53% in 2015 to 85% in 2017, which gives us better visibility on our near-term financing cost. Another key point worth discussing, as I know a lot of equity and credit investors are tracking it, is a further step down in the gross debt adjusted EBITDA ratio from 4.2% times in 2016 to 3.7 times in 2017. On a normalized and constant currency basis, net debt for the year ended 2017 was 457 million, which was in line with the guidance which set at the beginning of the year, starting with Venezuela, part of our exposure that was written down, equated to a financial receivable on the Tacoma business that is in Venezuela. On the Forex side, we had adverse impact of 190 million. Bear in mind that this is only due to translation for accounting reporting purposes and not actual cash value lost, as we will deploy this cash over the course of the projects. This disclosure is reported in our prior annual reports, but it seems like many may have overlooked it, so I wanted to take this opportunity to highlight it. To conclude on this slide, as you can see, the 1.1 billion successfully refinancing deal that we conducted in October 2017 has allowed us to push back the next bid debt maturities through to 2021. We remind you that the Salini Impregilo bonds maturing August 2018, amounting to 283 million, will be repaid through bank loan included in the refinancing operation completed in 2017. To wrap up on this gross leverage point, I wanted to share some internal analysis that we track to benchmark our performance. As you can see, Salini Impregilo is among the top league in terms of gross debt EBITDA, leverage ratio in 2017, and further improvements are expected in 18 and 19. Turning to slide 17, we generated more than 150 million of operating free cash flow in the first 2 years of the business plan. I would like to highlight the great results we had on the optimization of assets rotation, on completed projects, and the successful disposal of assets, which brought some 175 million of cash this year. I think we can jump to slide 18, where there are just some information on the Italian project. you can go on slide 19. As all of you are aware, from 2018, our group will need to adopt the newly introduced IFRS 15 on revenue recognition. The new accounting standards seeks to increase the threshold for revenue recognition from probable to highly probable, which will improve the reporting transparency for multi-year contracts. We have carried out a preliminary assessment on these new accounting standards, as we estimate that we will need to adjust the new opening balance sheet approximately by 135 million, which, as you can appreciate, is minimal and supports the prudent accounting policies already adopted by the group. On slide 20, I would like to give you some information on the Venezuela exposure. The full exposure amounted to 628.4 million. We performed an impairment of this exposure, and we have taken a 50% write-off equivalent to 314 million in the year ended 2017. To conclude on my section, on slide 22, I would like to share the good news we had on our investment in Autopista del Sol in Argentina. The renegotiation of the contract is currently undergoing, brought to a share price appreciation because the stock is listed of around 80% in the last 12 months. And Salini's stake is currently worth 85 million. To end this slide, whilst we are currently taking write-downs in Venezuela to correctly apply prudent accounting standards, this example demonstrates that by being patient, we may one day also be in a position to fully recover our Venezuela exposure. I would now like to pass you back to Pietro to go through the business plan update and forecast.
Thank you, Massimo. After the review of our business performance, let me comment more broadly on the market and its perspective. There are some fundamental drivers that are shaping up the evolution of the large infrastructure sector. First, convergence of developing versus developed market is accelerating, with more developing countries increasing their budget spend on large infrastructure projects. Second, mass urbanization is happening and driving more demand for infrastructure supports their development. Third, management of water resources is becoming even more crucial, both for developed and even more for so developing countries. Finally, the aging of large infrastructure in developed countries and the need to replace, integrate them is another important driver for construction demand. Salini Impregilo's excellent competence in large infrastructure projects and its unique capabilities in the water segment, in which we are number one, in the metro tunneling place, the group is in the best position to exploit these already undergoing trends. Our addressable construction market continues to remain healthy and growing. The awarded projects expanded from 300 billion in 2016 to 450 billion in 2017, and are projected to reach between 500 to 700 billion in 2018. The pipeline of projects in planning or postponed for future realization is very healthy, 3 trillion. Even more interesting, a large portion of these projects have a value of more than 1 billion, which is the segment that we like most and feel ideally positioned to address with our core competencies and very solid track record. In 2017, we won 6.7 billion euros worth of new orders. The United States confirmed itself once again as our single biggest market, responsible for 40% of the total. Some of the projects included the Northwest Boundary Tunnel in Washington, D.C., and the Union Port Bridge in the Bronx, an important milestone because it's the first to be won by our U.S. unit lane construction in the New York City area. The Middle East was the second biggest market, responsible for 2.1 billion euros in new orders, or 34% of the total. Maiden One Mall in Dubai is a notable project. 2018 has started well with 200 million euros worth of new order already booked. The pipeline of our commercial activity has been expanding. We moved from a total value of 44 billion of projects in the pipeline to a total of 59 billion. The geographical areas more dynamic in terms of forthcoming tenders and pre-qualification are the U.S. with over 15 billion, Africa with 12 billion, and the Middle East with close to 10 billion. An interesting segment we are continuing to explore and where we have a very strong track record is that of the private negotiation that has always brought us in the past very large projects with very interesting profitability. However, simple growth is not enough. Moving to the next slide, over the last 2 years, we have engaged in de-risking our portfolio and also lowering the concentration of our top 10 projects on our total revenues. In this respect, we have managed to bring the rate of our top 10 projects from 66% 3 years ago to a 47% today, and the trend is for further lowering this ratio. In terms of geographic spread, the U.S. represents today our number one country with 26% of the total revenue. I will expand more on the U.S. perspective and our operation there in the next slides. Moving to slide 29, we consider the U.S. market perspective, which appears very bright indeed. U.S. is currently experiencing a secular trend of infrastructure renovation after so many years where this segment has been continuously underinvested. Transportation infrastructure accounts for 40% of the total U.S. infrastructure needs over the next 10 years, which are estimated in total at $4.6 trillion. Lane is present and active in all top 10 states that account for more than 50% of the total construction spending for the U.S. budget. On top of these conspicuous figures, there may also come what the Trump administration recently announced with $1.5 trillion of infrastructure investment. We are, of course, ready to seize any opportunity that plan may provide. However, on a prudent stance, we have not included any of these project opportunities in our present business plan. Given U.S. market perspectives and considering the strong growth in sales and new orders shown by Lane since we acquired the company, we consider Lane one of our crown jewels. In 2017, Lane achieved an outstanding book-to-bill of 1.46 times. Its backlog grew almost 20%. Since at the time we acquired Lane, its backlog has increased by more than one-third. But even more impressive are Lane's perspective in the rich U.S. market. To this end, it is certainly not projects that are scarce, but rather specialized engineers needed to fulfill the ambitious order intake. We have then strengthened our technical department, hiring new skilled engineers who will reinforce Lane's capability to deliver the project we have won. We have also thought about expanding our commercial organization, opening or reinforcing new offices in several states, which are key for transportation budget spending, Texas, New York, Florida, and Virginia. Another important step key to secure new important projects in the U.S. is that they bring the surety lines, the financial backing U.S. projects must have, from current $5 billion to $7 billion. This increases dramatically our capability to compete for and win new projects, and it's also an important step change for Lane that could count only on $3 billion or surety line when we acquired the company 2 years ago. Overall, what will make the difference for our U.S. operation is the people, the effective organization and processes we are putting in place, and finally our drive and appetite to play a relevant part into the rich infrastructure business in U.S. Strategic guidelines of the group have not changed much, as we will continue to focus on this strategy as it is bearing fruit. I would like to make a few comments on each. Slide 32. On the top line, as you may have noticed from our recent order intake, we are applying a more specific focus on our geographic footprint, favoring markets where we can cross-sell our expertise, like in the US, Australia, and Middle East, which makes our operation more efficient, but also focus on specific segments where Salini Impregilo is a global leader, water and metro. Once again, we come back to the big opportunity that is lane. Here we would like to accelerate the growth in lane core competencies, but we also see huge potential for lane to leverage the Salini expertise in large and complex projects. We see the significant potential here for the U.S. market, which is in a desperate need of significant infrastructure spending. We see this step change opportunity for Lane, and we are confident that in the future the U.S. market will become the single largest home country for the Salini Group. Across the group, we continue to seek cost efficiencies across both our project direct costs, but also direct costs. This effort is jointly being done with our focus on optimizing our headquarter group structure for tax purposes. As we had mentioned in 2016 business plan targets, cash generation is a key priority for the management team. This involves better monitoring and receivable and inventory levels, but also focusing efforts on collecting slow-moving receivables. As you can see in the business plan targets, we expect an improvement in cash flow generation over 2018 and 2019. Management team actively focus on the following five key factors to drive cash flow generation. Project mix is important, and here I would like to highlight the important difference between projects undertaken by Lane and our other projects. Most of the projects in the U.S. have a shorter duration of 1 to 2 years on average versus the 5 to 8 years for our other large projects. The key point here is that on the shorter duration projects, the cash conversion cycle is faster, plus the receivable collection period for a project in the U.S. is approximately half of that to other projects around the world. This will make a notable difference and will become more prevalent as Lane grows. As you can see, our CapEx to sales ratio has come down significantly. This is a structural improvement into the underlying CapEx trend as we deploy a more efficient CapEx optimization strategy, but also reflects the lower capital intensity of Lane. The U.S. market has a very efficient machinery leasing model, which we actively use. This reduces our CapEx and depreciation, but also allows us to use the best machinery when required, thus reducing idle time and asset usage. Net working capital and new orders advance payment play an important role in our cash flow generation. One key point to consider here is that at most of the orders in Lane are smaller in nature, and that we do not receive any advance payment in the very short term, is having this a little impact on our working capital, especially as Lane orders are accelerating. However, having said that, the cash conversion cycle at Lane is significantly faster and more efficient. This change in model gives us confidence as to why we expect cash generation to improve in 2018 and 2019. We still focus on large projects that come with advance payments, such as the recent Saudi Arabia contract, but it is worth noting that going forward the business, the working capital development will be less volatile and dependent on large advance payments. We included an estimate cash in of 150 to 200 million from extraordinary items. Here it is worth noting that the majority of this amount represents expected proceeds from the investment of non-core assets. The first to be realized, most probably in 2018, is the household participation. To conclude on this very important slide, I hope that you appreciate the underlying changes that are happening within our cash flow generation model as Lane grows and becomes a larger part of the overall business. We believe these measures will improve the future quality and visibility of our cash flows. It will not slide 34 business plan updated targets. It will not come as a surprise to anybody that we will be revising downwards the business plan targets to reflect the recent foreign currency developments, namely the US dollars and Ethiopian birr weakness. We estimated the FX headwind for 2018 and 19 could account to around 1 billion per annum versus the original business, which is quite significant. As you can appreciate, we have decided to provide you with a range of revenues as we felt that we would be more prudent in doing so. To give you context on the range for both years, the top end of the range reflects the original business plan targets adjusted for current FX rates. As you will see in the footnote, we are assuming a US dollars of 1.25, which is slightly higher than the current rate today. The low end of the range reflects a more conservative view on the other factors, such as the impact of IFRS 15, a risk of slowdown on certain projects, possibly Italy, and some additional buffer for FX as the mix shift evolution may change. The management team will be 100% focused on reaching and even exceeding the top end of the range as underpinned by the original business plan, but we wanted to be conservative. As we mentioned earlier, the company has announced that it will add U.S. reporting already this year, and if necessary, we will eventually update the forecast accordingly. As I mentioned earlier, the underlying business continues to be strong. If we were to rebase the 2017 revenue to the updated business plan FX targets, then the 2017 revenue would have been 6.1 billion. This is important because, as you can see, at the midpoint, we are expecting a strong underlying revenue growth of low teens for both 2018 and 2019. Moving on to margins, here again we are targeting to generate EBIT margin above 5%, which is well above the market average. While some of you will look at the solid 5.4% in 2017 and think margins will go down year on year, we should not be your starting point, but it is difficult to the forecast where margin will be the decimal place. I would add that the margin in project backlog and the ongoing cost savings measures give us confidence that the margin will be above 5%. On the order intake, we continue to target a 1.1 book-to-bill, which is supported by our strong commercial pipeline of over 59 billion, which I earlier mentioned to you. As most of you know, order intakes is non-linear, and forecasting the timing of being awarded large contracts is difficult and will vary from quarter to quarter. What is reassuring is that the Lane business has a high degree of recurring order intake, and this is growing nicely. Most of these projects are small in nature, so we don't normally announce to the market. Cash flow generation is a key focus for the group, and in the first 2 years of business plan, we generated more than 150 million of free cash flow. We expect an acceleration in cash flow generation in the next 2 years to 300-350 million, driven by our key large projects, but also by the growth into Lane business, which is significantly more cash generative. 2 points which I would like to share with you on Lane is that the trade receivable days is half of the rest of the group, and is a significant less capital intensive as we tend to lease equipment rather than to spend on CapEx. We believe that these two factors, coupled with the strong growth for Lane, will support strong cash flow generation over the next 2 years. As you can see, we are also expecting to cash in between 150 to 200 million of extraordinary item over the next 2 years. It is worth noting that this relates mostly to the investment on non-core assets, and we expect to sell 100 million of assets already this year. Finally, we expect to continue delivering our gross debt by 100 million per annum for a total of 200 million and work our way towards an investment grade rating. To conclude, as you can appreciate, We are not making any business changes to the original business plan target, but just adjusting to take into consideration certain factors that changed, which are beyond our control, FX and adoption of a new accounting standard. These factors do not affect our strong relationship with our customer or the effort of our hard-working team across the globe to deliver complex and innovative projects to our client. I will also reiterate that the underlying business is strong, both in terms of growth prospect, but also on financial soundness. The management will act prudently when evaluating new business opportunity to ensure we maximize our profit margin and ultimately reward to our shareholders. With that, I would like to end our presentation and open the floor to take on your questions. Thank you.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Jamie Samales of Value Tree. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening. Just three questions. Basically, on the 2017 numbers, you posted a negative impact of the working capital of 234 million. But could you give some guidance for the impact of the working capital into 2018? This would be the first question. The second question would be if there is any risk of a further impairment on the Venezuelan exposure. And the third question would be about the impact of the different measures, cost-cutting measures, just in euro terms.
Thank you.
Yeah, these are the three questions.
So starting from Venezuela, of course, we do not expect any further impairment because we just made a very deep analysis and also based on the estimates on other situation, long history of default from other states. We think it's more than enough the impairment we made. Of course, we follow very strictly the situation. We slowed down the works, so we expect in the long term to recover some credit and some values. As I mentioned before, we didn't put any kind of revenue of or margin in our business plan in the coming years, so we do not have any kind of effect in terms of cash or marginality. If I heard well, you asked for the working capital in 2018. We do not give any guidance on working capital. We can provide some more detail, but we expect more or less to have the same value that we had in 2017. As you can imagine there are some major receivable of payable that can change the year-end working capital. We are significantly improving the inventories management. That is a trend of slowdown that we see from 2015. So we expect to generate more cash from that. We expect to improve, of course, the capability to recover some slow-moving receivable. And we expect and we put as assumption to maintain, to keep the same level of prepayment. We had some slowdown in 2017 in comparison with what we expected. But, of course, for instance, the major new contract in Saudi Arabia will deliver a payable in 2018, an advance payment in 2018. So, on average, we expect to keep the same level.
Okay.
Probably the third question regarded the cost cutting. As I mentioned, we kept a very effective management on the project for general expenses at Salini Pregillo level. We just started the project also for Lane. You have to consider that Lane is growing very fast, so we had some increasing cost, as also Pietro mentioned before. So we expect to start having some improving in efficiency in late 18, mainly 19, mainly starting from the procurement activity.
Can you measure it?
Sorry, Jaime?
Can you give a guidance of the potential improvements coming from procurement and the other costs?
Unfortunately, we put the bar very high also in at Salini and Pregillo level in the last 2 years, and we achieved a very significant amount of saving. Of course, it's not reported and could be balanced by some other inefficiency. But just to give you an idea, we have under control centrally more than 5 billion, 500 million of purchasing at Salini level, excluding Lane. So if you consider the amount of cost that will have Lane in the coming years, is something that means some tens millions of saving.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jaime. Next question, Sherry.
Yes, sir. The next question is from Giuseppe Grimaldi of Mediobanca. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes. Good evening, everybody. 4 questions, if I may. The first one is your margin assumption, basically on the Lane branch for the U.S. and the weight you assume for basically Italy going forward in your business plan. Is this going to be diluted? Third question on the 190 million net debt reduction you mentioned. Is this related just to the FX translation? And the last question, if you could elaborate a little bit more on the 130 million on the IFRS 15 impact you mentioned before. Thanks.
Thank you. So starting from IFRS, we have an impact of around 50 million coming from cost that we have to capitalize, and we cannot consider in a cost-to-cost accounting, and the rest it's a restatement on work in progress, also including some claims, mainly due to some changes, some news happened in 2017. So the total amount of reduction at equity level will be around 135 million. It will not have any kind of effect in the P&L for 2018. It will have some positive effect in the P&L in the rest of the life of the projects, in a range between 30-40 million. Already included in our projections, and of course, if we will have some positive news from this kind of claims or work in progress, we will register a positive effect both at P&L and cash due to the new accounting principle.
Just to understand, is this recorded at P&L level or just at the balance sheet? This is 130 million loss.
Just P&L, just balance sheet, just at equity level.
Ah, okay.
We will have a change in asset, in the value of the asset, and at equity level.
And so, and going forward, the 30-40 million you mentioned, but it is this it is included in the plan.
Yeah, already included in the targets. Regarding the gross debt, we reduced the gross debt overall without adjusting for Forex. Regarding the net financial position, the Forex effect was 190 million with a strong contribution from the Ethiopia, the change in the value of the currency that we held in the local currency that we held, and the other part coming from Middle East. Then the other question was margin lane. We expect to be in 18-19 in a range between 2-3%. Still assuming the cost, the investment.
EBIT level, you mean?
EBIT level, right.
Okay.
Regarding Italia, of course, we do not expect any increase in terms of backlog. We expect some increase in terms of revenue incidents because we will start IRICAV and we will have more contribution from coming from the other projects, mainly the Milano-Genova high-speed train. We put a still conservative assumption, but of course we will see in Italy it's always difficult to forecast timing and timing mainly from authorization and bureaucratic issues.
Thanks.
Thank you, Giuseppe.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Once again, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Mr. Bruno Permuti of Banca IMI. Please go ahead, sir.
Good evening. I wanted to ask you if I have well understood regarding the guidance of the top line for 2018 and 2019, the assumption in terms of euro dollar exchange rate is 1.25. Okay. Thank you. I would have two other questions. One is on the expectation of the extraordinary items. In addition to Ausol, the kind of assets included in 150-200 million are receivables that you expect to cash in, or other kind of assets you have in the company, in relation to the CapEx, if you can give us a guidance for an amount, a reasonable amount, we can consider in our models for 2018 and 2019. Thank
okay.
you.
So starting from CapEx, just to remind you, we had 200 million as 2016 actual, around 100 in 2017. We expect to be close to 200 in the 18 and in a range between 250-300 in 2019. On the extraordinary items, we mentioned before we expect to cash in 180, around half of that come from Ausol, and half of that come from other claims or litigation that we expect we are able to cash in the 18 and 19. A part of that come from the Campania case that comes from Impregilo.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, at this time, there are no questions registered.
Thank you, Sherry. That concludes our call today. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. Have a good evening.